This episode is brought to you by Shutterstock.com. With over 26 million high-quality stock photos, illustrations, vectors, and video clips, Shutterstock helps you take your creative projects to the next level. For 30% off your new account, go to Shutterstock.com and use the offer code WOW7.
The mystery heart condition that
that is not it. Hold on a second. Wrong page.
What the heck?
Hold on. Sorry.
That was pretty good, though.
This is crazy. I was thinking, actually, we've gone up in the world, haven't we, now?
Yeah, a little English thing. For
mystery heart condition, blah, blah, blah. You're listening to the Warcraft Instance podcast.
Snuggle.
You are listening to the Instance.
And welcome back to The Instance. This is The Instance, episode 334, and it is Friday, July 26, 2013. My name is Scott Johnson, joined today by Terpster. Hello, Terpster. Hello, Terpster. Are you there?
Hello,
oh,
I'm
hi.
Here.
Oh, hi. How are you?
Sorry.
It's all right.
I wasn't listening. Oh. I mean, I was listening because it's so interesting.
It really is. Our intro, you know, it turns heads.
I like the wrong intro you played.
Yeah, that
was
pretty good.
I was still excited about that. That was good.
Maybe I'll keep that in post.
Like, yay, keep it fresh.
I'll keep it in post. People can enjoy
really?
That.
Really?
Yeah.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah, why not?
Cool.
Hell yeah. Also, all the way from beautiful San Francisco, California, the Bay Area, if you will, the home of the original Gold Rush, ladies and gentlemen, Dills. Hello.
Hello.
I say that because I'm watching this in your wazoo.
On my wazoo.
I've been watching a documentary about the Old West and about specifically the Gold Rush, and they talk a crap ton about San Francisco and its role in all of that business.
I'm still waiting for the Gangs of New York style Barbary Coast movie that apparently has been in the works at some level.
I would so watch that.
Yeah. There's so much people getting shanghaied and tons of nefarious business going on all surrounding the superior influx of money that happened all at one point.
Oh, it was crazy. Like over a couple years time, there was today's equivalent of just millions, perhaps billions of dollars worth of gold being discovered and everybody hearing about it and rushing from every corner of the world to get to that coast. And
yeah, it was crazy. It went from a basically non-existent town to like huge towns and other towns surrounding it, and other industries coming in.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Singular moment in American history, that whole thing, and all based on a lot of greed and very interesting stuff. But the bit that really impressed me was Salt Lake City had been established. There was a group of pioneers, Mormon pioneers, that made their way to the Utah Valley, set up shop, did their thing. And at some point, the governor picked one of the church elders and said to this guy, hey, we want you to go to San Francisco and we want you to set up a branch or a congregation there. We want you to, spread the word, get down there and get that going. So dude goes to that part of the country, catches wind of the whole Sutter's Mill gold rush, thing going on, decides, I'm not doing that thing I set out here to do. I'm going to go ahead and like cash in on this gold thing. But this is what he did. He didn't go and get any gold himself. He had some people give him samples of gold. He invested a bunch of money in pickaxes, sifting trays, and a bunch of other crap. And then went to San Francisco, walked up and down at the time like Beaumont Street or something, and held this vial in the air going, there's gold in the river. There's gold in the river. And people barreling out of like saloons and out of hotels and all this stuff going, what's this about gold? And, everyone freaking out. He gets
everyone
all these
people
excited. He arranges for a bunch of like travel for people. They all get out there. He makes a fortune just selling the pickaxes and the freaking sifting trays. Screw the gold. He made it, he made the equivalent of millions just doing that. Like crazy stories like that. It's just
Levi Strauss. I mean, everyone's still wearing Levi's today. The whole thing started because he had to make clothes that gold miners could wear that would survive what they were doing.
Love it.
Which was basically like on their knees and in rivers and stuff like that.
Right.
And so there wasn't even jeans. And then suddenly they were jeans after that.
Right.
So you're welcome, everybody else, for those comfortable jeans you're wearing.
Apparently,
right now.
You're not allowed to wear blue jeans in North Korea.
because it's a sign of American imperialism.
Whoa.
And I was like, I did not know that. I would have totally been arrested if I were ever missed. I mean, to be honest with you, I'm sure I'd be arrested before that for anything else.
For the camel toe. Just for the camel toe.
Exactly. I would have just... Wow. Mm-hmm. Camel hoof. And I would have been... I would have been, you know, arrested for blue jeans. Wow, what a way to go.
We call that moose knuckle in this part of the country, by the way.
UK, it's happening. You take away your porn, the next step, blue jeans.
That's what it is, blue jeans next. It will be, I'm sure.
You know what, real quick.
Or bad shorts.
We talked about this pre-show a little bit, but I'm curious, actually, from a gamer perspective / WoW perspective, those rules, these arbitrary rules that they want to put into place to block content of various sorts, primarily porn or whatever, but this
well,
weird...
that's what they're marketing it as.
Right.
Save the children.
Yeah.
But, I mean, God forbid someone has to be a parent. That would be upsetting, isn't it? If you have a discussion with your child about the realities of life.
That'd be terrible.
But fortunately, they can just hide them away from all of those niceties until they're old enough to make their own informed decision as to whether or not they want to untick the checkbox. someone said to me, it's quite succinctly, really, it's like having like your child is scared of the dark, and rather than putting a nightlight in, you insist that everyone in the country has to leave their lights on by default at night.
Oh, wow.
You're welcome to turn them off when you want. That's fine. But by default, they all have to be on because of your problem that you can't handle. Anyway.
Makes terrible sense. How does that affect gamers, though? Like,
well,
would it or can it?
We don't know. It could do. If they're filtering web traffic, they can throttle, you know, unfavorable. It's like, you know, everything we've always worried about with any internet that's monitored and filtered in certain ways past what it is already. You know, it could be that I couldn't connect to certain web servers. If, for example, they deemed World of Warcraft to have, I don't know, adult content or something that wasn't suitable
for children. Yeah, like God of War downloadable content or something.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. What's to say that all of a sudden, you know, by default, again, what they're saying is that, well, if you still want it, you can untick the box and then you can get it. But regardless, is you kind of feel like, you know, what happens then all of a sudden, you know, someone wants to say something nasty about the government. Mm-hmm. Is that all of a sudden classified as something that everyone's by default opted out of? Mm-hmm. You know, it's a worrying sort of trend. I don't like this sort of thing.
Yeah.
What about when they take away the box and then you can't take the box anymore?
Who knows? Exactly. That's what happens. Baby steps, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, they came for the porn addicts and I did nothing. Then they came for the gamers.
Because I wasn't a porn addict.
There was no one to save me because I didn't stand up for the porn addicts.
Well, right. Once the porn addicts are gone, there's no one left to save you. I'm sorry.
That's the problem.
Those people are superheroes.
Yeah. If I don't see you...
enough kids, you become a superhero.
If I don't see you in Piccadilly Square with a picket sign in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be sorely disappointed.
I wouldn't take to the streets. Mm. It's far more effective ways of doing it than that.
Is that a thing, by the way? Piccadilly, I didn't make that up. Piccadilly Square?
Piccadilly Circus.
Circus.
Is a thing.
Okay. That's it.
There are squares in it. So I just thought you would be more sort of geographically, I don't know. But yeah, I'm sure there's a thing as well somewhere.
That's great, dude.
Yeah, so that's interesting. We'll see, you know, as and how that develops.
Yeah.
It might be that, for example, they deem that, you know, the instance is just too entertaining for people to hear by default and thusly I have to check a box.
I don't like any of this. I would just remind people that history has shown us, we have many examples, that when you try to legislate morality, you get yourselves into all sorts of huge giant trouble, and you're better off letting people regulate their lives in ways that will help them.
I mean, think about it. In terms of, in all fairness, the people who are going to actually register websites and tag them as adult entertainment are probably going to be the legitimate, not too scary ones.
Right.
And ones that you'll be able to access will be the ones that haven't gone through the legal routes.
Yeah.
And you're just exposing kids to more accessible, nasty stuff. But anyway.
Yeah.
Good times. World of Warcraft.
Yeah, World of Warcraft. That's right. I'll give you a quick look at what's been going on for us during the week. Our raid team is now on official hiatus. I don't know if you heard about this.
Why is that?
Well,
is it because are you ahead of the curve? Have you got all your cheese?
No, that would be not true. It's basically come down to this. We've had a few people who've had to quit and leave either for extended periods of time or in some cases permanently due to real life stuff. I think we have a couple of people who are just sort of, I'm going to wait for something. Like we're at that weird transition between expansions anyway. And this is when you start to see this, you know, Activision Blizzard usually announces lower numbers, which we'll get to later in the show. But there's a bunch of that going on. But usually our raid team's been pretty resilient through that. And we've got enough backup and stuff going on. I think with flex raiding coming, there's a general sense that those who still want to be with each other and doing what we're doing and working with other raid teams in flex raiding will be fine. But that core, you know, never change 10-man sort of scenario that we've had for so many years now. Just too many people on too many different roads doing too many different things. We've got people who have moved to different time zones, and it's just killing
Sounds
them.
Like a country and western song so far, Scott.
A little bit.
How I feel about it, but yeah.
I feel like a raid team. I don't know how that would go. I was going to make a song up, but I'm glad I stopped right then because it would have gotten worse. You guys should thank me at home.
Yeah.
So I'm just LFR on my way to 5-4.
It's not a bad way to go right now.
Right now, no.
You know what I think is going to happen when flex rating hits? We're going to see kind of the death knell of the 10 man, while everyone just does 25 men that you don't have to have all 25 for.
Yeah,
you know?
I get that feeling.
You're going to see 10 man groups combine so that basically you never have to worry about, you know, people showing up or not. You can just still kind of forge ahead no matter who actually makes it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably going to be the way Sin raid team might go. I mean, I'm sure there's another raid team that we could just combine with or something.
Yeah, I think there are already names being bandied about. And it does make a lot of sense. And I think Blizzard makes these decisions based on a lot of statistical data they have and they only have. So probably they're leaning this direction as well. I don't think this is a thing where they're saying, oh, we got to get rid of 10 mans. It's never been any good for us. I don't think it's that. I just think that 25s have been always hard to fill. And 10s have always made you feel like you weren't as cool as a 25. So they've done a thing here that kind of solves the problem for both ends in a weird way. And I know people are a little bit afraid of it. Of course, change in this game always causes consternation, but I feel like it's going to be good for me. I know that.
Mm-hmm.
So bring it on.
I think it's going to be good for our style of raid team just in general. I mean,
who's it going to be bad for?
Well, let's think about that.
It'll be bad for people who don't like things to change.
Yeah.
It'll be bad for those people.
Because it doesn't seem like, if you, let's say you're already running a really strong 25-man team, this is in between LFR and full team rating, so it's still a middle tier. And so if you've got this strong 25-man team that never misses nights and always hits everything on perfect and you don't have people with flexible schedules or whatever, then this shouldn't matter to them at all. So it's not hurting them. They act like it's hurting them, but it's not. There are people on the lower end, LFRs, who may now have a chance to have a more regular kind of consistent thing that isn't just a bunch of pugs with servers.
Yeah, play with the same people every time, kind of get actually make some friends and that type of thing. I mean, that to me is what this allows. It allows you to not have a solid group of 25 and still be able to play with the same people every week.
Yeah.
And right now, if you don't have that and you don't have that 10, you're only doing LFR. Your play experience is kind
Plus
of
the whole,
limited
the
to
whole math thing. It always annoyed me.
Yeah,
it was always like, so you got a 10-man, cool, and you got another 10-man, great. Well, why don't you both work together and find a 5-man as well? And now we've got a new raid size. You know, it just didn't ever add up properly.
Right,
it was annoying. Yeah. Always someone got left out, or you were always too short.
Yeah.
So odd
math. You're right. It's always been a little bit odd math. So now the chat room's piping in. Some of these people are saying things, and these are some of the examples of some of the reactions I'm hearing that I don't actually think hold a lot of water. And I mean zero offense. These are all good things to be saying, chat room, but. Krisnik Velen says, do you think people will consider flex rating as actual progression? Well, it is actual progression.
They will, because to them it's progression. Progression, by definition, is just moving forward for myself, right?
Right.
So it doesn't matter whether I'm moving forward at the same slip that you are. If you like to do 25-man, you know, everything is heroic and all that stuff, that's your progression.
Sure.
But that doesn't mean that it's not progression for someone who's just doing LFR, then into flex rating, and then maybe at some point into 25-man normal. You know, that's still progression.
Yeah.
Just at a different level.
If the thing LFR did is it gave a bunch of people who couldn't raid before a way to do it. So Ditto says in the chat room, it will be bad for players trying to get into raiding. Well, no. You still have LFR. That's not going away. You still have your entry point, if that is your entry point. But you now have another step to full-blown 25-man hardcore if you want. It's this middle step.
Grown up.
Yeah, grown-up rating. And it's and somebody Oak Dragon says it's bad for elitists. Well, that's probably true.
But again, well, though, it's only bad in their brains. It's not bad in reality. I mean, that doesn't matter.
Well, yeah, it's not actually bad for them because if they are elitists, they're already doing the thing they are being elite about, and they're not having that taken away from them.
No.
In fact, you're still getting the best gear in the game because you have the best 25 man willing to always be there for 2 hours a night, three nights a week, or whatever. You still have your thing. So all you're doing is just being bugged that other people have a way to play in a way that's I don't know why. Actually, I don't understand why it bothers people. But
yeah. But again, though, okay. So the secondary thing to the progression argument was, so then what are they going to keep track of this? In the same way they keep track of, you know, who the best raid team is. And I no, they won't. Like, because they don't, nobody keeps track of LFR. No one keeps, you know, like,
right.
10 man and normal and 10 man heroic, 25 man normal, 25 man heroic. Those things can be tracked, but you're not going to start tracking, oh, these guys had 23. Because this is going to be a step in between LFR and normal. It's not going to be tracked in the same way.
And for some people, they will always be just fine right there in the middle. Like, that's going to be a play. Yeah. I know people who are totally cool with LFR. That is rating to them, and they don't care beyond that. I don't see
don't
how
care
that's
if their name
a problem.
Shows up on a website saying that they're, you know, number 155 as far as getting down this boss. Like, yeah. They are the people who do not care.
Yeah, they don't care. Guess what? I'm one of those people that really, in the end, I mean, I like progression. I like being able to do things, but I am never going to be a world firster. I'm never going to care about being a guy on a list. I'll be world
first. Worst ever player. That could be
race to world worst.
Race to world worst coming soon.
I'd see that
hot new documentary. Right? We'll be in that one too.
Definitely do the commentary for that movie.
We'll be in that one too. But it's game. One last one I'll mention here. Gangolatron says flex rating is a joke. I mean, normals are not that hard. That's not why flex rating exists. It's not about normals being hard.
Yeah.
I think this is where the big confusion with players is, and maybe Blizzard could do a better job at addressing this. But the problem isn't that we need a new difficulty level. It's a new tier of playability. It's a new tier
of life difficulty.
Yeah, it's life
in-game difficulty.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
It's finding 24 other guys exactly. Because I'll tell you this, as a former raid leader of the now on hiatus raid team that Scott was previously talking about, it's a big pain in the ass to get exactly 10 guys.
Yeah,
and that's just on the 10 man level. I know people who led 25-man raids. It's a big pain in the ass to get exactly 25 guys because you need more than that, really, logistically, to be able to field the 25 every time because people have real-life stuff going on.
Right.
So then you always have people who have to sit, and you have to deal with that headache. Then when you don't have the people, you have 22 people who did show up who are now disappointed that the night is a bust and they can't do the thing that they carved time out in their life for. To do because two other guys didn't show up.
Yeah.
And that sucks. And this takes that away.
Well, here's the bit. Here's the important bit. If you find that part of the game fun, if sitting out is fun, being frustrated is fun, if all those things are fun, and I'm being serious here, that might be fun for some people. That might be part of the experience. Guess what? That's still an option for you at the top tier rating level. You still can sit out because you had 11 guys and they don't want you tonight. You can still be frustrated that you're short. And you're only 8 of your 10, you can still be all those things and cancel for the night because they're not taking any of that away from you if that's what you want in the game. What they're saying is, all right, well, now there's this other. And if you want, and this other is going to be perfect for me. I'm not every player, totally get that. And I'm not saying they should all play my way, but that's going to be awesome. I'm pretty excited about it.
And some people are also making good points here, too. Not only was it a pain in the ass for me to put these teams together and figure this stuff out, it was a big pain for the people who were in, like, say, the sub positions.
Right.
And people leave the game because they're not getting the opportunity that some guys who maybe were considered regulars and they always get the spot if the spot is there.
Right.
That whole type of hierarchy to raid teams too is really, really difficult on people to carve that time out, then show up and go, I don't get to play tonight.
Yeah.
And you know, you'll get, your feelings will get hurt. You know, you're just basically, you're always feeling like it's an uphill battle to get a spot on a raid team. And that's really frustrating because you're talking about a game that's supposed to be fun.
Yeah.
And now it's not even about the fun. It's about, can I even get into the game to have fun? It's just, it's an ugly situation. It's been going on for a really long time. So it's become the norm. And now Blizzard is going, well, let's change that norm. And people who are so used to it are kind of, you know, they're just fighting against it a little bit. And I understand that. Change is weird and hard and difficult. But I think that in the end, everyone's going to look back and go, yeah, flex rating is fine. Like, yeah. LFR didn't break the game.
Right.
A lot of people thought it would. And it never did. So.
Yeah. So we'll see. Coming soon. So get ready. 5.4. Bring in your flex rating on in full force. And that's how I think I'm that's how I'm taking down Garrosh Hellscream.
Probably. Yeah. I think you and me both, I think that's going to be, you know, and who knows in the future if one byproduct of flex rating could be too, though, that you find, oh, there's these other people who play like I do and they're really good and we end up getting along. It kind of expands because we have our little 10-man universe, you know, mm-hmm. that, we, you know, we're in the big AIE guild, but we're also in this like mini subset of the AIE, mm-hmm. which is our Sin raid team, right?
Right.
Well, if we combine with another raid team and find out, oh, we work really well with these people, there could be a point in time where suddenly we are at 25.
Yeah.
And it just kind of, you know, happened naturally that we got there. And then we go, cool, let's do, you know, the actual raid.
Yeah.
And that could be a good byproduct of this, too. So
it'd be interesting if they ever blew the cap. I don't know if this would work, but let's say you did get to that point where your 25 is working out great. And now you're rolling, man. You're in the normals and the heroics and you're doing great. And then you're like, oh, these five other people want to play. So now you got 30 guys. So now you got five alternates and everybody's taking turns again. You're kind of back to that problem. It'd be interesting if they blew the cap on top of that and said flex rating can go higher.
Like goes both ways.
Yeah, yeah, we can bring up to 40 or something, or get back to a 40-man raid thing would be kind of
interesting.
That
would be really weird.
It would be weird. Really, I don't know how they do it, and I don't even know if they ever would, but it'd be interesting if they attempted it.
You know, honestly, if they have a scalability that goes down, you could logically say that they reverse that scalability upwards, and it probably works.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
There might be some weird things with how it actually scales when you get to 26 or 27 or 28.
Wow, maybe, yeah, exactly. Do 40-man raiding comeback. That'd be amazing.
Oh, dude, it'd be incredible.
Nostalgia. And then everyone would be like, oh, this is too many people.
Yeah.
It's like herding cats.
Yeah. They'd have to make the rooms bigger again, though, you know?
Like, yeah, they'd have to physically scale. Yeah, that'd be crazy. Yeah. Flexible rooms. Yeah.
There's not places for everybody to stand in some of these raids. I mean, that's part of the challenge of some encounters is spacing out properly, you know.
Yeah, you're all clipped together in a giant blob and you don't know where you're at anymore. And
maybe the more people, the fewer like area effect dots they put on the floor, but the harder they hit.
You've solved it all. You've done it all. Terpster, how does flex rating interest you from your point of view?
I'm not sure really. I'm still trying to get up to LFR cap now, item level on my paladin.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess maybe with flex raiding, I could actually join a raid and do, you know, be a real hindrance to a group of players that I'm really not up to the gear for.
Uh-huh.
You know, I guess that would be a bonus versus, you know, where I am currently.
Yeah.
But I think it's, I'm looking forward to it in a way. I think it could be a good one.
Yeah.
Could be fun.
All right.
Well, then you also, I mean, if there's not any kind of like gear cap or anything or gear requirement, you could kind of do run throughs with this, you know?
People could take in theory, that I'd be like, guys, do you want to do it in hardcore mode? And they're like, well, how do we do that? Well, you just take me along and it will make the raid slightly harder, but proportionally, I won't be able to contribute as much. Right. And they'd be like, okay, that sounds good. Yeah, we've got it on farm. We can do it. Give it a go.
There's no good achievements attached to any of that, though.
Maybe they should build it in. Have one person in your party level, you know, with an item level average of 400 or something terrible.
Yeah.
And it'd be like, you know, and, you know, defeat the boss on flex raiding. Yeah.
Well, they did have that in, Olduar, was it? Where you
Olduar, you had to do it. Yeah.
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 And then you had to be an achievement for that
title
or something.
Olduar had cool challenge cool stuff.
Old War was just cool all the way around.
Yeah.
It was just a big experimental place that everyone loved because it had like all these little different things.
Yeah.
It was very cohesive as well. It felt
stuff I was tired of, but you're right. It just felt like you always kind of knew what you wanted to do, and then there were 10 ways to do it, and I don't know. I really miss that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Well, good deal. Also, just a quick note, if you want to play something that will get its teeth into you hard and you'll not want to ever stop playing it, buy Rogue Legacy on Steam. That game is freaking amazing. Terpster, what are you doing? Farming?
So, a lot of farming. Yeah. So I've just been doing a lot of farming, both actual farming in Half Hill, and then more farming in North Barrens. Corcron guards are lying underneath my boots as I try and get rare mojos, or whatever they're called. What are they called? The mojos, anyway, whatever the mojos are. Yeah. But anyway, for the weekly, because the gear's not fantastic, but it's a heck of a lot better than what I've got. That's good. And, killing 150 things, in essence, or there or thereabouts. So what was it, 600, basically, items a week. And I know it's a weekly quest, but again, this is the problem kind of Blizzard runs into, is I kind of feel like I have to do it in a day, like in a sitting. And it kind of seems like, God, this is a grind. This is a lot of things. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's quite good. I found a few little kind of tips and tricks. Like if the other faction's killing a general, just sweep in at the end, do a little bit of damage on it, and boom, there you go. You can get some extra loot from that. Caravans, just always do those. Yeah. And just really, I think it kind of encourages AFKing in Barrens, because like it would just be like, oh, a Corcoran wagon's overturned, and you'd be like, yes, let's do it, quick, go. Yeah. I got nearly all of the stone 1 week from just camping one of those.
Just
so
the roads, yeah.
Yeah, so I think all of it, it's good fun, and it's kind of given me something to do. Kind of, I feel like it's a sort of a nice reintroduction into kind of playing lots.
Yeah.
And scenarios, just been kind of enjoying those. I want to get my gear up to do some heroic ones though on this character, because it's good. And I'm the more and more I kind of get there, I kind of hope that we can, like, I would love it if my farm unlocks were account wide, so like in Half Hill it didn't have to be like, oh, now I've got to get the weed guy to kill all the weeds again. And and I mean, I guess some people would like to be able to do those quests for the extra rep and experience and gold or whatever, but for me, I just like to have more plots of farmable land to grow stff on and stuff, make more cooking stuff. I don't know. So there's certain things I would like to maybe even have like a checkbox. It'd just be like, do you want this to be an account-wide area? Or you've got the option to do it on a local character basis. I don't know. I kind of think that would be nice.
Yeah, no, that sounds good to me. I think the farming stuff, like pet battles, will continue to
evolve.
Fleshed out and evolved, and they'll do new
things. Yeah, exactly. I hope we see it in the next expansion, kind of V2. That'd be nice.
That'd be nice. Dills, what you got going on? You been playing much?
So right now, when I am in, I've been doing actually a lot of mining. I'm trying to get ready to engineer this mount. And so just lots and lots of mining. And that's kind of all I've really been doing, other than, well, it's like queue up for BG mine. And that's kind of it.
Yeah.
But I mean, I know that as soon as I can make this mount, it's still going to be putting a lot of stuff together, but that's all I really care about right now is getting that thing.
That thing is pretty singular desire of most players right now.
Yeah. If you're an engineer, it's like, why, what else should you be working towards? No, that's the only thing left. I mean, I already got all the buffs and I got all that stuff that I need for actual like raiding and stuff. So now it's just the toys and the mounts and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
But I just started captaining a new pool team, in real life. So it's been taking away a lot of my time just putting this team together, meeting up with guys, getting practice sessions. It's like leading a raid team. It really is. Because I have to get 7 guys, and then we have, pool night is Tuesday night, and 4 guys can play, but I can have 2 alternates. And, it's like, so it's really, I mean, it all comes
down to... It's
like
a raid, all your raid team leadership experience is coming to fruition here.
It's really weird how that stuff literally translated into what this was all about. I mean, I have to, manage this roster. I have to make sure everyone's happy. I have to make sure everyone understands what their role is. I have to figure out who's ready and who's ready to, who's ready to go one night and who's not ready to go, and what family situations they may have. And so I kind of have a tab on what's happening in everybody's lives a little bit.
Yeah.
And also they have to feel comfortable with me. So I have to kind of be social and get to know everybody, which was all part of doing the raid team in the first place too, was playing with Syros just on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
And going and running a heroic or whatever, and like stuff like that. So getting together with guys and going and playing pool and stuff. It's really interesting how there's so many things that literally just cross right over.
Yeah, no,
from
that's,
one together.
That's pretty fascinating to me. And in some bars, you literally have to try to stay out of the poop. I just want to mention that. Certain bars.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Depends
absolutely.
On the quality of the establishment. But, yeah. As a rule of thumb. Uh-huh. Yes.
By the way, Ciro's, you mentioned Ciro's. For the first time ever, I think, his account is actually canceled right now. He is not playing World of Warcraft. Can you imagine
him and several million others?
Well, yeah, there's quite a few, which we'll get to here in the news.
Big
in fact,
news.
Here it is right now. How about a little bit of news, which I can't find the bumper for, so I'll play right here.
Big news.
Big news. Of the week.
Let's get to the big hairy stuff. This is all kind of breaking and new, but Activision/Blizzard bought itself back from Vivendi for $8 billion. Technically, 5.8 is the cash buyout for 429 million shares. And on top of that, Kodak, Kelly, and others are purchasing 172 million shares from Vivendi for 2.34 million, which is where they get the 8 million.
Billion.
What'd I say? I meant billion.
Yeah, that's
the math in both sums is some heavy multiplication of $13.6 or $13.60 per share.
Yeah, then there's also these like these tax things that they're purchasing. It's so confusing to me, but yeah,
there's some weird stuff going on.
Yeah, so like they say 13.6, but that's kind of just a simplification of everything because there's these, what do they call them? I'm trying to find the name for it here, but they're basically purchasing other things that will help them as far as taxes go later on.
Right.
So
it's a pretty weird deal. It's a big deal. After the split, Activision Blizzard will be an independent company again, like they were at one point, with a majority of its shares owned by the public. Bobby Kotick will remain CEO with Brian Kelly as chairman. The financially troubled French conglomerate Vivendi is now out. Not totally out. It will retain 83 million shares for about 12% of the overall company. So they're not
totally
completely
silent.
Not there, but they are not.
See, I don't know. I mean, I would love to know from a Blizzard perspective. I mean, we don't really know how kind of cash rich Blizzard is because I never know what the original deal with Vivendi was.
Right.
They say here, though, that after this transaction, they're still going to have $3 billion cash on hand.
So Activision Blizzard, like the kind of parent company, which is basically a rebranded Vivendi Games, who previously owned Blizzard.
Right.
They then bought Activision and merged the two bigger, greater brands to make Activision Blizzard. But Activision, the publisher, is part of Activision Blizzard, and Blizzard, the game developer, is part of Activision Blizzard, you know, this overall umbrella.
Right.
But what I don't know is, for example, you know, Mike Morhaime, how much money does he have?
Right.
Is this a good thing for him? Is he cashing in on it as well? Is he buying shares? You know, does he want independence? Does it actually bring any benefit to the developers within Activision Blizzard?
Right.
Or does it just change where the money goes past, you know, going to Vivendi, who, I mean, there've been rumors for months about Vivendi trying to shop around to sell Activision Blizzard, because Vivendi needs money. And Activision Blizzard's one of the few things that actually makes money. So they thought, let's sell our best thing. But anyway, they then have kind of now agreed to sell it back to Activision and other parties. That I'm just interested to know what Blizzard has.
Yeah, this has always been interesting to me because the Vivendi thing came. I mean, we have WoW to thank for this, really, because Vivendi, the whole deal and the whole Activision combination and all this stuff comes from Blizzard's need at the time to finance what was going to be the biggest deal in the history of video games, really. And this all came together as a way to solidify that, to make that nice and solid and give it a good foundation and always have their, you know, the revenue would always sort of flow. And what happened was Vivendi couldn't hold up their end of anything else. Nothing else in Vivendi's games division did anything. And Activision Blizzard just made all the money. So here's a little clarification. This comes from somebody who, quote unquote, claims to be a economist of sorts. Activision Blizzard is neither Activision nor Blizzard. Rather, Activision Blizzard is actually what used to be known as Vivendi Games and was their general gaming department. When Vivendi bought Activision, they attached it to their gaming department, whereas Blizzard always had more free movement but was still owned by Vivendi. Thus, Vivendi Games, now known as Activision Blizzard, is what is now separating themselves, owning both Activision and Blizzard. So essentially, you don't, Blizzard's still not like back to its independent roots where it's Morheim and
exactly, yeah,
it's
yeah
not
and
just
like
Blizzard, it's still right. the bigger
stuff like that.
Right.
Blizzard, yeah, yeah, because they were originally owned, Blizzard was originally owned by Davidson and Associates, which were a distributor, and it's like the most unsexy, ungaming name ever.
Right.
And I think Davidson, they were then bought by Vivendi. Right. So sort of, I don't ever think that Blizzard was directly bought from anyone. I feel like the person that they originally, the company they originally sold to, has always then been sold on, as I understand it. And so I don't know, again, what sort of deal the actual key people at the top of Blizzard, you know, what sort of kind of revenue they've personally seen, and equally what sort of constraints have they felt through the years from owner to owner, and does it actually make any difference now being part of an independent Activision Blizzard? Is that actually any more independent than Vivendi was? It's,
right.
it's the same board, it's the same people with, I'm imagining, similar goals of trying to, you know, make sure their investors are seeing regular dividends and money come through. So there's always going to be a drive to release regular, big budget, high, you know, profit products.
Right.
That I don't know if this is actually anything better for Blizzard or anything different. I don't know.
I don't know if it feels a little lateral for them. I don't even know if Paul Sams is still. Is he still? What is his deal? He's still in charge of things.
Because I think Sams, didn't he come on board from, wasn't he like the son of someone at Davidson and Associates?
Yes, before all that switch, yes. And I think part of that deal was that he would stay on in a leadership role or something.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. But I mean, I guess we don't see him as much frontwards facing. He didn't do terribly well at the BlizzCon. A couple of BlizzCons ago, I remember people coming out wanting his blood because he joked about like making a reveal, and then was like, "Nah."
Yeah, and then didn't do it. And he wasn't He was a no-show in terms of stage or anything at 2011. I think he wasn't.
Yeah, but that might have been because of that. Who knows? But yeah. I think he's still probably there.
Yeah.
I think unless Vivendi was literally giving any kind of creative input, I don't think we're going to see any real change as far as like fans are. This is really just a shifting of where the money is and is going based on what, you know, what Blizzard does from here on out. There's not really anything else going on here. I mean, some people got rich who owned the Blizzard stock and sold it, right? The Activision Blizzard stock and sold it. And a lot of those people were basically Vivendi people, and now they're kind of out.
Right.
And some people still have some of that stock. But I mean, if you look at some of these numbers, I mean, they're paying tons of money out in dividends. So
yeah.
Having this stock is still fantastic.
So Blizzard, or as at the time, what they, Silicon and Synapse or Chaos Studios, when they're bought by Davidson and Associates, I'm reading here, it was for $6.75 million.
Yeah.
Right? Then, so basically, Davidson was acquired along with Sierra Online by a company called CUC International. They then merged with a hotel, real estate, and car rental franchise called HFS Corporation to form Cendant.
Yeah.
Then it became apparent that they had actually been accounting fraud for years before the merger, and Cendant's stock lost 80% of its value. The company then sold its consumer software operation, Sierra Online, which included Blizzard, to French publisher Havas in 1998.
Yeah.
And in that same year, Havas was then purchased by Vivendi. So then Blizzard was part of Vivendi. And so they've gone from pillar to post.
Yeah.
And I don't know if at any point they've actually seen any real benefit or support or bonus. I don't know. I'm assuming that there's some big thing there. But can you imagine back in 1994, if you'd managed to hold on for Blizzard for under $7 million to now when it's worth over $7 billion probably. You know, it's just like...
Oh, it's crazy.
It's just like, how does that not... Oh, that's crazy.
I just wonder what point did it stop. I don't know the years on this. I'd just like to know when it stopped being Mike Morheim's company, when he would go, oh, we're short on payroll, I'm going to pay everybody with my credit card this month. Like, when did they go from that scrappy little three or four guys in that small office to not really owning it anymore? Like, when did that happen?
I imagine he's always had a stake in it, and I imagine he still has some sort of ownership, and I'm sure he's actually done very well out of these purchases personally, and equally, I don't think it ever stops being your company. You know, when you start it up like that, I don't think you ever truly say goodbye to that being your baby. I mean, apparently Adam left Blizzard in 2004, so just before WoW launched, to found Tenfold Capital Partners, which is a hedge fund, and he remains a consultant to Blizzard at the moment, or at the time at least. But it's like, you know, how you can kind of step away from something like that, I don't think you ever could.
Yeah, you probably,
especially not these guys.
Yeah, you probably can't. Not something this big. So anyway, it's pretty crazy. One side note to this: Chinese company Tencent. I love that name. I love Chinese companies. Period.
Tencent. Like, yeah,
I used to have to deal with a bunch of them for work stuff, and they're the craziest name. So Tencent now owns 24%. That's a big chunk.
That's
company.
A lot of cents. That's a lot of Tencent.
That's a lot of dimes. 2 10 cents and 0.4 of a 10 cent. Yeah.
It's a weird thing. Anyway, they own 24% now. Tencent currently owns League of Legends developer Riot Games. So for some perspective there, that's who these guys are. They also own nearly half of Epic Games and its ubiquitous Unreal Engine. So all that Unreal money goes to these guys. They have a lot of cash.
So just owning League of Legends, I mean, makes Tencent stupidly rich.
Yep.
So yeah, they're pretty well placed. You know, but this is good. I'm happy to hear about these sort of invested partners, because then you start thinking, hang on, if Riot and Blizzard are in the same kind of family of owners, does that then open, you know, them up to exploit each other's franchises and platforms and netcode and audiences?
Sure, why not? If it makes them both money,
you know, it's kind of you hope that they can be as sort of generous between themselves in the best interests of everyone.
Yeah. You'd hope so. So let's see how it all plays out. But big shift in who owns who, but it doesn't feel like Blizzard really has to do anything different here. They're just going to keep going.
I really don't think that anybody was really pulling the strings besides Blizzard doing their own thing that they've always kind of done. We were really worried when a lot of this stuff happened in the first place that suddenly the creative direction of Blizzard was going to be hindered in some way.
Right.
And can we look back now and say that that hasn't happened? I mean, now I think we can say pretty safely that Blizzard's just been kind of doing what they always wanted to do, regardless.
They just make video games and they make the ones they
want
to make.
And whether the money was shifting into a different place or not, the people who are actually in creative control of the game, which is all that really matters to me, that all stayed and that was fine. Nothing really got
it. Feels a little like it's a bad, maybe a bad comparison, but it feels like
this is fantastic.
It's like Steve Jobs in the 70s when he was like, all right, I'm just gonna let Wozniak build the awesome thing in the garage quietly at his pace and let him do his thing, and then I'm gonna market the crap out of it. Hey guys, let me talk to you for a second about our friends at shutterstock.com. shutterstock.com, this whole episode is brought to you by them. You'll find the perfect image or video for your next big creative project, whether it's just for your website, a publication, an advertisement, videos, any kind of project, really, whatever creative thing you're doing. You can choose from over 26 million high-quality stock photos, illustrations, vectors, video clips. They source their images from all around the world and put it right at your fingertips. And they add thousands a day, up to 10,000. So every time you come, you'll find something new. They have really flexible pricing, super easy to use. You can download any image, any size, and pay just one price. Shutterstock gives you images you need to bring your creative project to the next level and bring it to light. They make it so, so easy. Sophisticated search tools, shareable light boxes, award-winning iPad app. I could go on. And check this out. They got a deal for you. You can try it right now just by signing up for a free account. No credit card needed. Just start an account. Begin using Shutterstock to help imagine what your next project could be like. Save some favorite images to the light box to review later and so on. But once you decide to purchase, use the offer code WOW7. That's WOW7. And any new accounts will receive 30% off any package, whatever you want. That's shutterstock.com for 30% off new accounts. Use the offer code WOW7. We appreciate their support of the show.
You need a jobs for every Wozniak there is, really.
Yeah,
that's
I agree.
If it was just Wozniak, we would have no cool stuff.
Yeah.
But according to Wikipedia, it's a pinch of salt here.
Yeah.
How much do you think Mike Morhaime is worth? His net worth?
I'm going to guess. Let's say
personally,
$100 million personal worth.
Yes, somewhere in the range of there. Yeah.
So all they've got on here, and it's using celebritynetworth.com, $1.8 billion.
Holy crap!
Like, I'm sorry, but that's a lot. I mean, I don't think it's that much, but I don't know. celebritynetworth.com. I mean, I and again, that's much. Net as well. Yeah. So I don't know what the gross is.
How much
on
in
it
WoW as
well.
Gold? How much in WoW gold?
Exactly.
Is
that? In WoW gold, that is about how much is traded in a year.
Wow.
So, fantastic. Yeah, that's a lot.
Well, so, he's
crazy.
It probably, well, think about it. I mean, I don't know that number's that far off. It's probably pretty accurate. Cause
it depends. It depends how much of an ownership
you've
taken.
We just lowballed the hell out of him, didn't we, Scott?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, we did.
You would have been there, say, like, don't worry, Mike. I got this drink. Yeah. I get this round. It's fine. I bought him a drink, actually. I bought Mike Morhaime a drink. Wow. I can't believe it. How could you let me pay you some money?
He should have bought you the Hilton bar.
He should have bought me the bar and said, I don't want it. You can have it.
Yeah.
There you go.
We're drinking
all
night.
That's good.
He should pay for the AIE room.
It's what this goes to show, though, is that even if he is worth as much as that, I mean, obviously, he's a very, very wealthy man. But regardless, if you meet him, he is one of the most down-to-earth people you'll meet. And at BlizzCon, he is there hanging out with the likes of me and every other Joe Schmuck, you know, grabbing a drink. I'm sorry, I would have to say this. If I was worth $1.8 billion, I wouldn't see or talk to any of you guys ever because I wouldn't be able to hear you over the sound of how rich I was.
Right.
You know, it would just be you and tons of models and
even that, I wouldn't.
Popping.
I'd be too
rich
for it.
Yeah.
No, you can, dude, sure. You can walk up to the guy, put a microphone in his face, and he'll say this.
Hi, I'm Mike Morhaime from Blizzard, and you're listening to The Instance.
How nice. He was worth
$1.8 billion.
He was worth at least $500 million when he said that. So.
Exactly. Exactly. But then again, and that's maybe why he's so nice and happy all the time, because he's just worth so much money.
Yeah.
Which should
be
good.
It's hard to be mad about stuff at that point, right?
You'd think. I think that would, because you really do get the impression that he has a pretty singular focus, and that is Blizzard, Blizzard video games. That's it.
Sure.
Yes.
Well, you know what, though? At this point, he doesn't have anything else to worry about. I mean, there's a certain point of wealth where you actually still, like, if you actually live a wealthy lifestyle, it's still kind of a stressful one. It's still kind
of think about like American sports
thing. Exactly.
And
you know, they have money coming in.
Right. It's like Brewster's Millions. You're just wasting it on stuff. And
they have money coming in, but money's always going out too. But then if you get to this point, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. Like, you're fine.
Yeah. It's the Bill Gates thing. You give a ton to charity and you don't really need to. I mean, you just chill.
Yeah, you just chill.
Well, that's how I'd want to do it. I don't want to be somebody who feels like now they've got to be a part of a certain set of humanity that does nothing but just burn money and freak out and snort coke off of strange surfaces and stuff. I'm not interested in any of that.
That part sounds fun, but the other parts,
right?
Yeah.
I would start my metal band where I was allowed to play the bass, and everyone would be like, I'm not sure you're really the best bassist we've got. And I just pull out my checkbook and say, really, am I not the best? And they'd be like, no, you are the best. You're the best. Can we get that new lighting rig for the state? Yeah, I've already got it.
I've already got it.
I own everything.
Yeah.
So actually, if this is true, then Mike Morhaime is officially the nicest billionaire I've ever met.
Yeah. I think you're right.
Out of all the billionaires I've met.
Right.
And I've met two, because I've also met Gabe.
Right.
And I'd say Mike is nicer than Gabe.
Yeah.
And Gabe's very nice.
Gabe's very nice. Gabe also appears. I think there's something about gaming millionaires that is different than. Well, actually, you know what? Anybody who's got their millions from the passionate work they did.
Yeah, from the hard work and the actually having the possibility of it not working out and becoming a homeless person.
Yeah.
And then it work out. Like,
yeah.
I think there's an appreciation there.
There is. There's a difference in about the kind of people, the kind of character they have. The people I get bugged with are the ones that are, you know, one of the Hiltons or somebody born into something. They're the douchebags.
Yeah, it just gets handed to you. It's not really. That's not really the way to get rich.
Earn
at least
your
not
keep,
that being said, that being said, if I ever roll a character on your servers, anyone listening, and you gave me a load of money, and that's like the equivalent of inheriting it, you know, from a rich heiress, I would like to just say that, you know, that's still cool. It doesn't make me a douche.
You're right.
Still be incredibly nice.
Yeah, of course you
exactly.
would. Because you have passion for people giving you
passion.
Free money.
I'm passionate about that.
Fantastic.
I'm very passionate about it.
Well,
I can get behind.
I wish you could get behind this. Some new numbers. Things are down a little bit. WoW is down to 7.7 million subscribers, right from the same press release. For the quarter, Activision Blizzard was the number one independent publisher in North America and Europe combined, including accessory packs and figures. The number one, number two best-selling titles year to date, that's Skylander Giants and Call of Duty Black Ops 2. Additionally, Blizzard Entertainment's World of Warcraft remained the world's number one subscription-based MMO, ending the quarter with approximately 7.7 million subscribers. So they, of course, said that in a way that made it sound positive, but that is down from where they were. So all
still
this 10-point whatever.
Still up from everyone else, though, but yeah.
Well, yeah, it's, as, always, it's the same as always.
I think, was it like 2007 numbers?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yeah.
So it's, you know, kind of 6 years of growth eroded. Which is
not great. I mean, for them, it's a matter of degrees, right? Like you look at these numbers and you go, ugh, that's down from 10 point whatever,
but you
which
kind
is down
of
from 12.
Like, I don't know what they can actually do to actually change it. Like, what can Blizzard do to make people subscribe to WoW? The only thing I can think they can legitimately do is lower the price of subscription. Mm. To the point where people think, oh, is that? Okay, yeah. All right, screw it. Yeah, I'll resub for that. And even then, because I kind of feel like they've delivered enough content, they've kind of are consistently generating the best MMO experience that I'm aware of, at least, out there, that I kind of struggle to understand, like, maybe it is just preconception of actually, you know, oh, World of Warcraft, oh, that's a decade-old game, that's, you know, oh, that's crap, you know, I don't play that anymore. Maybe it's that the brand actually works against them. Maybe it's a case that the majority of their players have all grown up and don't want to play MMOs anymore, and all the new younger generation is playing, you know, MOBAs and something else. Maybe it's just, you know, mechanically there just isn't the audience anymore. I don't know if they've gone elsewhere or what they've done, but equally I don't know really what they can do to change that number, short of, as they often do, bring out a new expansion and see a temporary
boost.
That's
just fluctuation again. I mean, it's always just going to now fluctuate somewhere around this amount, I think.
Probably, I think they could even take a bigger hit here. And the worry is, well, okay, so everything's got its cycle. You've got your big splash hit, and then it's awesome, and people love it, and it grows, and it grows, and it grows. And then people start going, that's old news, I'm done, I grew out of that, or whatever. And they start to let it drip, and then there's this period, kind of hard period between now and then when people get nostalgic for it. And then suddenly everybody's back on board. Now, whether they're back on board on the old game and they're like, oh, I can't wait to be in here again, or if they're on board because Blizzard actually made a sequel, whatever it is, there's that thing. It happens with Apple. It'll happen to Google. It happens to everybody. Happened to Microsoft. They have these cycles of love hate from the people who support them and follow them and are enthusiasts about whatever it is they're putting out. And I feel like Blizzard's just in this place where you're 8, 9, 10 years on, you know, a decade is a long time. Somebody went from 10 to 20 in that time. They were 10 years old. They're now 20. Like, that gives you perspective. A 20-year-old is now 30. And I got involved in this stuff, I was 34. I am now 44.
Whoa. So, you are ever closer to crumbling to dust.
Right. Now, I was even 33 because I was beta. I was alpha testing this thing on the friends and family. So it's like it's enough time passed. Time is a weird thing and people get weird about it. And I think they're now at that time. They're at that place that everyone never thought they'd get to, or even they hoped they'd never get to. But they're at that place where they have to defend their own brand against nothing. It's like it's just bad because it's old. Mm. And I think that's hard to keep people interested until you hit your nostalgic phase, and then people
and maybe
go back
again. And, I don't know if they truly know who their audience is anymore in terms of, you know, who do they cater for? You know, the
who
heat
do they
attract online? Exactly. Yeah. The heat they receive is like, oh, you're making it too casual. But is that really the case that WoW's always been appropriate to a casual market, or is it now that previously the hardcore grind fest and awkward, you know, clumsy nature of the game, did that actually encourage people to play more and to aspire to be able to achieve more? Or is the fact that now we can get things easier, does that diminish the sensation of getting those things? I honestly don't know anymore.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I kind of feel like it's such a horrible thing to be forced to almost experiment and take a punt on. Mm-hmm. You know, Blizzard's literally gambling with billions of dollars.
Yep. And it's a gamble, and I don't know where it ends up. I can't predict.
I mean, there's like 5,000 people now work at Blizzard. You know, that's a nuts number. Yep. And you've got to believe the majority of that is built around World of Warcraft. At what level does that subscriber number drop to the point where you don't need as much customer support and also you can't afford as much customer support.
Yeah,
you know, it's a scary little number.
When do you get layoffs again? Because they're not going to shift everybody to Titan development because they already moved those people out. Like they're already in other departments anyway. I feel like we are heading toward, unfortunately, and I think this is okay. So here's my prediction, and I hate this to even predict this, but I'll bet there is a big round of layoffs next year. And these are just natural business layoffs. These are what companies do when things change and shift and whatever. But I predict next year, probably early next year, we see something like that. Mm-hmm. Which I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm dead wrong.
They can't even do the normal thing of like a hiring freeze and you just wait for sort of natural wastage as people just get old or quit or whatever.
Right.
You know, because equally, they're still a premier software development company that needs to attract like the newest and best talent and, you know, make sure they are competing with the likes of all the other developers out there. Mm-hmm. It's a tricky thing. But equally, as we discussed, you know, they're not short for cash, certainly not anytime soon.
No. And they won't be at any – yeah, they won't be – they're not going to be in trouble in the in any foreseeable future. But, I mean, like, so when the new expansion does hit, how high do you think the numbers could possibly get as far as subscribers?
I bet we get to –
they cross 10 million again?
I get they get to 8.5 to 9. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd say sub nine. Okay. I don't think we get past 10 again. Not with the numbers as they are now.
Yeah.
I mean, again, I don't even know. You know, what could they do to bring people back? I don't think there is a particular untouched Warcraft thing that would just make people go like, "My what? You know, Nagas? Wow! You know, I don't think there's a race or a class or anything that is left untouched. Like Arthas is, you know, he's been dealt with. He was our sort of main antagonist from the previous games. You know, we've killed off most of the good guys that you kind of feel like maybe if they were to announce Warcraft 4, that might excite some people back into World of Warcraft. The hope was is always that the movie would be out and would interest people in this magical world. You know, if I had been able to play an Avatar MMO after seeing the film and, you know, being able to live and explore that world that seemed so vivid and amazing, you kind of feel like, you know, they would have done quite well out of that. Yeah. But obviously the Warcraft movie, you know. Ooh,
nice transition. Again, nice transition, by the way.
A movie isn't going to, I don't think, bring that much. I mean, Lord of the Rings Online, it wasn't like it ever got these massive numbers, you know, and that's an incredibly
popular series.
They
also came later. Well,
yeah,
a little bit
they
later.
Came at the wrong time. But,
right.
Yeah.
But the WoW film has a chance to reinvigorate, I think, existing fans who are like, oh, man, I kind of missed this. I'm going to get back. You know, there's going to be some of that, but
they need to make sure they hit on the right sort of notes, though. Like, you know, you need to kind of recreate that sensation for people when watching it of what is it like, you know, riding into battle with your friends or whatever. You know, I kind of feel like there must be some kind of amazing things they can emulate.
Yeah. Well, Comic-Con fans last weekend got a taste of it. World of Warcraft teaser shown at Comic-Con. So far, no leaks of this thing. Nobody's seen it.
Well, it's annoying. Exactly. And Duncan's been like, oh, yeah, not putting that online.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, you son of a... Yeah. Why not? Why won't you?
I know.
He answers. He says on Twitter, he's like, it's not my decision, unfortunately, to do it or not. And he's right. I'm sure the studios are keeping this very tight. But it does seem like something that would really benefit all of us as players to just see what the heck is going on. It's a very short clip. It features a guy walking around the desert with a sword, comes across a skeleton of some soldier, takes a drink, picks up the shield. The shield has an Alliance logo insignia thing on it. An orc comes into view, shows up, charges the human, the clip ends. It's real short, and Duncan Jones says there's no plans to release the clip online, no leaked footage yet. They say they start filming next year, which makes me wonder what the hell this little demo film was. Like, if they're not filming
yet. I imagine it's like they often do these sort of tech demos, and you see it a lot with games in that they will make... In fact, you would have seen it quite famously with Aliens versus Colonial Marines, where basically they showed off the tech demo as an actual gameplay demo. Mm-hmm. And that's why everyone thought the game was going to be much better than it was. Yeah. But the idea is, it's like you build an animation or a short film with the sort of aspiration of what you want it to look like in a sort of like a mood sheet. You can see Edgar Wright's put one out, which he released online because he's a nice guy, of Ant-Man. Mm-hmm. And his sort of like, this is what, you know, this is how we kind of feel it should work and how it should look. And, you know, it's just a guy running down a hallway who then transforms very small, kicks a security guard's ass and then goes into an elevator or something like that.
Right.
You know, it's very kind of quick and simple and straightforward, But you could then show that to effects houses and be like, yeah, we want something a bit more like this. You know, this, you know, this is the sort of, you know, the costume designers can work on it and, you know, take that as the first step. So I imagine it's, that's probably why they're not sharing it, because it's actually not truly
probably not really that good.
Yeah,
exactly. it's like a mock-up. We can do that today. Absolutely. We mock things up and they look real good, but they're not.
Well, just from the description of this thing, it doesn't sound that good. I mean, it's just, to me, it just sounds like, okay, yeah, this is just the style sheet. I'll be honest. And
I thought they might have been using the World of Warcraft parody porn film when it first kind of, you know, a very short clip that features a guy in a desert with a sword who comes across a skeleton of a soldier. Uh-huh. You know, the orc shows up, charges the human.
Yeah,
Rumpy Pumpy. And then, you know, but they just cut that bit out. What is Rumpy Pumpy? That's a nicety for sexual intercourse. So that's what I like about that.
Pumpy is today's title for the show. Episode.
Fantastic. Right. That's how it works.
Rumpy Pumpy.
All right, so let's real quick. We've talked about like who's going to be in this movie or things like that. But are there any specific types of scenes that you think must or must not be in this? Because you guys remember, what was it? The Doom movie? Was it the Doom movie where they had the whole first person shooter?
Right.
Like, I think they need to avoid... That kind
Wayne
of stuff.
The Rock Johnson.
I do think they have to avoid those things. They have thick enough lore here that you can have a Hogger reference. You can do all sorts of things without ruining it.
Off naked dancing on a mailbox. That's literally.
You can just throw that stuff in the background, though. You know. Yeah.
Exactly. But, and then it turns out it's not actually a female Night Elf. It's actually a bloke. It's a man.
It's a dude.
How about we have a scene where everyone is dying all around you, and then a hunter just goes, ugh! And then he goes, it's cool, guys. I got mass res. Yeah. And then everybody comes back.
This is the problem. I don't think they can do any of those game mechanic-y things, or we will all roll our eyes, and they need us to be a major support of this film. So. Gotcha.
You don't want something where, like, I try to cast something, but it's on cooldown.
Quickly, heroes, take out Garrosh! I can't. I'm out of mana. Be like,
OOM.
I kind of like that. Would be good, actually.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. I've got to go. My mum's calling.
Yeah.
I need some nods somewhere. I think they do need that, but I don't want it to be.
It's going to be a big battle, and there's going to be in the background a paladin with a hearthstone. Bubble hearthing.
Right.
It's going to be, they have to have that in the background somewhere, and then that will get freeze framed and posted on Reddit about a year after the film came out.
And that's great. You know? That stuff's great.
Yeah. I do think nods need to have, they need to have some little stuff here and there, but yeah, you're right, like, about not putting in that Doom sequence. Like, because that was so dumb. In a movie, it just didn't make any sense.
Pixar does this really well in their movies. Other, you know, lots of self-referential stuff to their other films. There's a thing in The Avengers that's specific to me that I can never tell out loud what it is, because people can just find it on their own, and then I'm not in trouble. But I promised the guy who put it in that I'd never say anything. But there's some stuff happening in The Avengers that are very specific, actually, even to this show. And that kind of stuff is cool, but you can...
So there's an Obey Henry sticker somewhere.
I'm not saying what it is or where it is or how it's featured. I'm just saying it's in there. That's all I'm saying.
Natasha Romanoff, if you freeze it at the right point, the Black Widow's face is actually Henry. So it's a digital effects fan. I just put it in there and they went with it. So no one noticed it. It's crazy.
It's not too far off the mark, but again, I can't confirm none of this. All right, let's jump into this.
We all agree on that.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why, it's the Town Crier.
Hey, it's the Town Crier. It's where we take your emails and your calls. And it turns out, so we've had this old number, 206-202-3969 or 3-WOW. That number used to be the number, and it quit working for no reason. And now it's working again, and I don't know why. So I'm going to still put both out there just in case, you know, I don't know which one's better or worse, but 801-471-0462 is one, and the other one is 206-202-3-WOW or 206-202-3969. Leave us a voicemail. We'd love it. Or you can email us theinstance@gmail.com. I want to thank Doghouse Systems for sponsoring this portion of the show. Get a new Doghouse rig right now. It may be the year of a new generation of consoles, but believe you me, you're already way ahead of those. With the best PCs on the market for gaming, and you can get one right now at doghousesystems.com. Get double the memory with the code Henry, or free $50 at slashloot.com. Any t-shirt you want. Free $50 gift certificate using the code GERP at checkout. That's Henry or GERP at checkout. That's G-E-R-P for GERP and Henry the way you'd think it'd be spelled. Also, email us your stuff, theinstance@gmail.com. Got a call here about the mounts, whether or not you would earn or buy them or both.
Hey, guys. So I have a super quick question. You're talking about on your most recent podcast about having a mount that you would get with an achievement, let's say, right? And it would look slightly different than a mount that you could buy with money, right? They would look almost the same, but there'd be a slight detail that would be different that would tell you, oh, this person got the achievement versus this person paid money for it. So here's the question. If you do that, are they treated as two separate mounts?
Yes. Why not?
Like, well, is he saying, like, for achievements, does it count for more, or does it clutter up your thing?
Well, no, you would be able to. The point is that there are mount collectors out there that will have none of this idea that they can only get it once. They want both. And so they'll buy the one with the glowy head, and they'll buy the one without the glow, or, and then they'll earn the one without the glowy head, or however it works.
One will be called the purple whatever, and one will be called the golden whatever. And
Yeah.
I think that's how it would work.
Well, some of this exists now. You can get they're still with
the achievements. Well, they're calling the in-game currency battle coins,
right? Ooh.
Which to me just kind of like, I was hoping it'd be like battle chess and we just have different denominations of coin that you can kind of use against the other,
right?
And that it was going to be like a new sort of like inscription.
Love it.
Like the next profession was battle coin forging. Apparently just buy them. But I don't know, I kind of like BlizzBucks. I'm annoyed that they didn't go with BlizzBucks.
BlizzBucks is really annoying though.
BlizzBucks is amazing.
Yeah,
it's
well.
A terrible name.
And it would just be a kind of, you know, a green
lore wise
note.
It doesn't work because you're bringing the word Blizzard into the game. Which,
true. They did that once with the Blizzard Bear from the BlizzCon in
2008.
Yeah, that's right. So I run around in that thing with a Murloc on it.
I love it, exactly.
Logo.
And everyone's like, oh my God, where'd you get it from? I'm like, I know a guy who knows a guy. So
I knew a guy too who knew a guy.
Can we all agree though that the one thing that should be in the movie is there is a scene where we hear actually Nick's voice and he says his line, and then we get an orc come along and just say, "Oh, this is the town crier." Like, can we just get that scene just real quick?
Good luck
in the movie.
Good luck.
That would be good, wouldn't it?
I would be.
It'd be good if,
you know, just in passing.
Yeah.
Scott as GURP the Orp.
Uh-huh.
And he says, "Why, it's the town crier."
Exactly.
I would maybe the orcs have just, you know, pillaged a human village.
Yeah.
And he lets, "Oh, it is the town crier."
I would defecate myself.
And then what happens is the Alliance hero, Terpster, shoots an arrow straight through the orc's neck.
Right.
Blood and gore everywhere.
Yeah.
And saves the day. And the child just
then someone says, "Don't worry, that was just the crappy hunter GURP. We still got this Dills guy back here, so we're good."
And
ironically, you pull out the arrow, which I named GURP's arrow, and I fire it into Dills' leggings.
Uh-huh.
And that's how it works.
Then
and
hide then
they
behind your damn shield.
They
all right, we've already written a scene.
Brilliantly.
So, there we go. Hire us to write the rest of this thing.
Why has it taken Blizzard so long to do this? Like, we could have done
it
in a
weekend. They've got the material. They have the lore already. Why not?
We could play all the parts like Martin Lawrence or Eddie Murphy.
Perfect.
You know, we could have been all of the characters in the World of Warcraft movie.
Yeah.
They're calling it the Warcraft movie as well. They don't want to put the brand World of in there.
Oh, that's right. They didn't. Yeah, that's a good point.
They're just going to maybe call it just Warcraft, right? Like, that's going to be the name?
Well, World of Warcraft was really kind of just a stupid way of saying, hey, this is like Warcraft, but it's big and open and worldy. And, you know, like, it wasn't ever meant to be lore-ish the way that, say, Mists of Pandaria sounds lore-ish or something.
Sure.
World of Warcraft is like saying Universe of StarCraft. It's like, you know, which, by the way, I would play like crazy. And I think that's Blizzard's next big. That's what they should be doing. That's my
Although
personal opinion.
That's not as good as WoW, like, because UOS? UOS?
Yaus? Well, they just be UOS. UOS, they just say. Like Tor. Well, I guess Tor. I don't know.
Tor, yeah.
WoW is really a stroke of genius in terms of nailing the acronym. Like, that's pretty awesome.
I think about the stuff, though. That's all branding.
Yeah. EQ is all right. EverQuest shortening it to two letters. That's cool. EQ is good. Dark Age
call
of Camelot.
Just US. Call US and they just play like you guys playing us, playing a little less.
When we played Dark Age, people would say, "Oh, are you playing a little DAOC?" Like, it it would sound just dumb, but people got used to it. So whatever they do. I'm just saying as games go and as the world I'm interested in playing goes, I think a StarCraft MMO would be insane.
It'd be awesome.
I know everyone keeps saying it. I'll keep saying it until I'm dead, but that's what they need to do next. Got some emails here from, let's see, Lucifer on Dark Iron wrote and said, the devil himself, says, hey, STD, speaking of acronyms, you guys see the new Frost Mage, Frost Mastery spell effects? Badass, says Lucifer on Dark Iron. It's a short, easy email to read. I did, and it looks
Where is it?
Champion has it. A few other sites are running it.
5.4 stuff you're talking about,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. So what it is with every frost, frost bolt you throw, you get like a little icicle above your head that's kind of rotating and kind of misty above your head. And for each one you do, you get up to, I want to say, 5 or 6. And when you've done that many, and they're all up there. Now, as you're still casting frost, they're also intermittently casting additional damage from these things that are hovering over your head. And then when you're done casting, those will continue to fire off and empty until they're gone into your target before they disappear. And then you load them up again. It reminds me of something that's a Guild Wars 2 thing that happened with my engineer with this earth thing I did. So it's very similar to that, but it's pretty cool. Looks really neat too. So yeah, if you haven't
seen
it,
there's some pretty sweet new stuff too, like for mages. I mean, I always wanted the mage stuff to be kind of the most awesome looking stuff, because that's, you know, they're conjuring up like these ice balls now, and they're shooting off little bolts coming out of those. It's really awesome looking stuff.
It's cool, nice updates, and it makes me want to play my mage finally, which I paid to turn into a panda and then just didn't play it.
And then you never played it. Oh,
he's still sitting there, and like
mages are awesome,
sitting in like Syphilis. Picking his ass.
Well, that's what happens when you get syphilis.
Yeah, you don't want to get syphilis. Terrible. Worms and stuff.
Exactly. Final email from, I want to say, Lassie.
Got the old god there.
I assume it's Lassie.
The one-eyed monster, they say.
Oh, is that what they call it?
Yeah.
Lassie wrote in and says, hey, Terpster Scott and Snooker guy. Snooker, sorry. In recent episodes, you have talked about the idea of Blizzard selling gold to counteract gold sellers. With fear of evoking the devil, I'm currently playing Star Wars The Old Republic. In SWTOR, EA/BioWare effectively sells gold. How do they do this? Items that you buy through their in-game item store are not bound to your character. Players can therefore sell these microtransacted items on the in-game auction house. This includes both cosmetic items and free-to-play centric things like dungeon passes. It's an excellent solution.
Well, they do this with the kitty, don't they, already?
Do
you
they?
Get the pet. Yeah, you can get the little.
Oh, that's right.
Pet.
They did do that.
And we were all like, oh my God, this is going to change the world. And no one does it. Everyone got it. And they were like, all right, done.
Yeah, there's a temporariness to that, isn't there? Like,
yes.
It's not going
And I think
to...
because Blizzard's only done it in such a limited way, they've not really gone full exertion into.
If
like,
they went,
all
if they did this with every in game pet, every battle pet that you could buy, every mount that you could buy, it would definitely create a little back and forth between real money and in-game gold. But doing it to one thing is never going
to. Well, it occurs to me that was possibly a test, and they didn't like the result. So
yeah,
who knows?
Possibly, yeah,
because they never did it again. All right, that's it for your emails.
But you know, he makes a good point that this could work, and it hasn't broken the game there. So
yeah,
if they were to introduce something like this might be a good way to do it, where you're not actually posting
outright
this
amount
of money equals this amount of gold, then you let the market kind of decide how much money is worth how much gold.
I think, though, still, I don't feel like it really combats gold selling, because it doesn't, it doesn't fix the immediate nature of gold buying.
Sure.
You
that's
buy
I think
gold,
the thing, the convenience factor.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's the whole reason why people are doing it.
Yeah, I think you're right. I concur.
The drop of the week.
Drop of the week this week brought to you by Typefrag.com, the ultimate in Ventrilo servers. Go get one for your guild, your 10-man, or your new flex rating team. Doesn't matter who you are. You can find a vent server that fits you at Typefrag.com. All right. The Forge on Twitch. Check this out. Blizzard sent a press release. I got one in the mail. Said Blizzard will be having...
Doing it right now.
They're doing it now. In fact,
because doing it right now.
We've got a little long, so some of you are actually probably watching this. Blizzard will be having a live stream of The Forge with their developers this Friday, July 26th. That's today. 10 a.m. Pacific Data Time, which just started on their Twitch channel. If you go to twitch.tv/playhearthstone, you'll catch it there. They'll also have it archived as well afterwards. But this is them showing off the Forge features, basically their crafting system that'll be built into Hearthstone. And I have to tell you, I'm not, this isn't me giving away anything, but I think that my prediction about when we get the beta, which I said was going to be soon in the summer, like it would be summer months, I think I'm still right. That's all I'll say about that. I don't have any, no big insider info or anything, just a little bird.
You just got a feeling in your gonads.
Right, like a parakeet in the dungeon or whatever that knows there's no bear or something.
Yep, a canary in the coal mine.
Canary in the coal mine.
I sent this to you earlier.
Sure, a parakeet in the dungeon. Oh, that works.
Now it's
fine. That's fine.
He just makes everything totally
wrong. Parakeet in the dungeon. The hell is wrong with me? Okay, last week we started a contest to give away to some lucky winner out there, a random winner, a Mega Bloks WoW Dragon Turtle with Windpaw character writing it. It's still sitting right over there. Can't reach it now, so I can't show the camera. But we picked a winner, and that winner is, and you were random, by the way, totally random pick for the hundreds that entered, Adam Coleman. Adam Coleman, you won. I have your email. I'll send you an email. You can send me your address, and we will get you covered. That's Adam Coleman. Big grats to you. If Scott Fletcher was here, he might say this right here.
Congratulations!
There you go.
You're a winner.
You are a winner. We'll get that right out to you, and we have more coming. So next week, we'll announce a new contest and get you guys all squared away and taken care of. Thank you, everybody who leaves us reviews on iTunes. They've all been nice. We're reading those about every other week now, and we love those. So keep those coming. Also, special thanks this week to GameTimeZone.com. They have a new code to use. It's Warcraft. It used to be Instance. They've changed it. It's Warcraft for 5% off everything, all game time at GameTimeZone.com. That's it, man. That's a show. Pretty good stuff there. Dills, I know you always have a million projects going on. It's a nice platform to let people know about them. What's up? What's going on with the Giants, man? What the hell's going on this year?
Yeah. Well, you know what? Here's the deal. The Giants are not a good team this year, but the fact is I and my co-hosts on the Torture Cast are not what you'd call fair weather fans. So we are going to continue to forge on. Instead of talking about how we're the defending champions, we're going to talk mostly about how we can't seem to hit a curveball.
Right.
So it's a little different, but you guys should check it out if you're Giants fans. Unfortunately, I don't know if I mentioned that I'm no longer doing the Litcast because I just don't have the time to devote to it anymore. Mm. But I still encourage everybody to check that show out because it's a fantastic show. Lots of really cool stuff. Independent authors and things and really in-depth interviews with them and readings and all that stuff. So go check them out. No longer a part of that, but I still support that podcast very much.
I smell a pool podcast coming soon. I smell it. I can feel
it.
It
could be happening. We've been discussing it.
Yeah.
I've actually also had another hankering to do some sort of a movie podcast because I like my movies, man.
Yeah.
And I always wanted, like, I would do movie reviews for K-Fog, helping out Cinema Sam. Mm-hmm. Some of you guys have met Samantha. And she may or may not still be doing that. And the thing is, we kind of have access to see some movies. So
like early premieres and stuff.
Yeah. So it'd be a good way to kind of get out there and do that type of thing. So
good,
I don't know.
Excuse.
Yeah.
I'm in talks.
I will hear about it here first. It'll be WoW, pool, and bad baseball this year.
Yep. There you go.
Dills, or Terpster, I mean. What are you doing? What's anything cool happening in your life?
Nah, not really.
Not really?
No, it's just a bit samey, really, isn't it?
Just a lot of really exciting stuff happening in the Augscast. Yeah. And if you guys are watching what they do, just know that Terpster has a huge role in making many of those cool things happen behind the scenes. So
all of them.
Pretty much all of them, yeah.
All of them, yeah.
He's an
extension.
Undercredited, underrated, I believe, by the general fans.
Yeah, that's on my T-shirt, that is.
Yeah, underrated and undercredited. Fantastic.
I like that. That's good.
Well,
In fact, actually, I'm in a video tomorrow.
Oh.
I'm never in videos, but we were short on people. And so you can see how short we were when the fact is I was in a video. So, yeah, we were doing a little series of adventure map stuff.
Mm.
I stepped in and noobed it up.
That's another 20,000 Twitter followers easy just from that one appearance. It'd be fantastic.
I should have said my Twitter. Oh, I should have. Oh, that's what I should have said the whole time.
Yeah, you missed it.
He just said, stop calling me Tubbs. My name is the_T on twitter.com.
Yeah.
Follow me. Yeah.
Great.
I'm not sure I'd actually want that. It wouldn't be. Yeah, I'd get even more people that aren't the people that I should have.
Quality, not quantity. Quality.
That's what it's about. Yeah. That's what it's about. That's right. Always.
Right. Sorry, but this Hearthstone game looks amazing, dude.
I can't wait to watch it. I'm dying.
It's done. Release it already.
Want
Blizzard,
it.
You idiots.
I want it right now.
Lower your standards, Blizzard. That thing's as polished as any other game anyone else puts out.
I kind of feel like I'd hate to be like the girlfriend of Blizzard, because you'd never feel like you were good enough.
Yeah.
You'd be like, are you gonna put a ring on this anytime soon? And they'd be like, well,
that's a tweet you want to make.
I mean, you're a 9 out of 10, and I'm just saying that I'm Blizzard.
They just scrap you all together and start over again.
That's exactly what worries me. I'd always be worried. I'd be like, oh, don't do this to me, Blizzard. I love you. And they'd be like, yeah, we're really fond of you too.
Well,
but, you know, I just kind of feel like we need to iterate slightly more on you. And I'm like, oh, you want to iterate? Right now? They're like, no, not like that.
Wow, that's sexy. Let's just check in with him real quick.
Can use the knight. Oh, wait, no, the knight already attacked. You're right. We should get him into range. We should just blast him. We can drop the Kirin Tornado Mage, which makes our mirror entity free.
I just watching it makes me excited.
Yeah.
It's sad, isn't it, really?
All right.
I kind of feel like I need more hobbies.
Hurry up, Blizzard.
Or less.
Hurry up. All right. Well, that's going to do it for us. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Thank you, live chat room. You guys are always amazing. I want to thank Matthew Oxley, who does our theme. You can check him out at MatthewOxley.com. Big thanks to Paul Swickard, our intern, who takes care of our show notes and other great stuff in the community. He's a good man. Forum show notes, archives, and more can be found at theinstance.net, including notes for this episode. Should go up today or tomorrow. Twitter.com/instance show is where you can follow us there. You can also follow me at Scott Johnson. Follow Dills at Willie Dills and Terpster at the_T. On Facebook, we're at /theinstance. And for more great shows like this, you can find them at frogpants.com. That will do it for us, for me, for Terpster, and for Dills. We'll see you next time.
Farewell. Bye.
Concert meant to benefit Broke City instead trashes it. It's the Overly Dramatic News. I'm Hunts the Wind. The Level 90 Elite Tauren Chieftains have long called Silvermoon City their home, so it was no surprise when they stepped up during the city's recent budgetary troubles. The Elf Aid concert, held last Saturday, was supposed to refill city coffers in the near term to buy time for a more permanent funding solution to be found. But during the performance of their signature song, Power of the Horde, a freak severe thunderstorm smashed into the area, with torrential rain, lightning, hail the size of galleons cannonballs, and winds over hurricane force. The gathered crowd scrambled for shelter, and by the time it was over, the once pristine city looked distressingly similar to a Horde version of Theramore. The damage estimate from the Tempest is in the millions of gold pieces and only adds to the already dire financial situation faced by the city council. Since the incident, rumors have flown that the band's enthusiastic performance of their anthem had somehow summoned the storm, but none were so bold as to suggest that it was anything but accidental. For their part, the chieftains vociferously denied that they were capable of such powerful weather modification magic. At least summertime weather. They did concede that they were capable of controlling blizzards. Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at OverlyDramaticNews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.
Epic Diapers.
Now that the expansion doldrums have hit and I've taken the summer off from raiding, I've had a little time to level a second tune to 90. So much has changed since I geared up my main that I really wanted to make the gear acquisition as quick and as efficient as possible. So I've created a list that also may help you gear up your fresh shiny level 90 tune. The first benchmark is item level 435, which is required for heroic dungeons. The second is 460, which is the requirement for Mogoshan Vault LFR. So once that level 90 achievement flashes across your screen, purchase Pandaria Flying from the Trainer and your faction's shrine in the Vale of Eternal Blossoms. Next, hop over to Mogoshan Vaults and do the two scenario quests from Lower Master Cho to open up the Baron's weekly quest, where you can earn a 489 piece once a week. Also, help the panda up the mountain in Kunlai Summit for a pair of 502 boots. Fly over to the Thunder Isle and open up those solo scenarios and quests, and try to get a key to Lei Shen's treasure trove to drop off an elite and run that treasure room once a week for tokens. Use those tokens for extra rolls on Shaw of Anger or Galleon kills. If you're still not at 460 after purchasing whatever cheap 458 PvP and other PvE gear that you can get from the auction house, run random heroic dungeons and random scenarios until your eyes bleed profusely, while still keeping up with the weekly chores I previously mentioned. Also, if you can wait until patch 5.4, all Pandaria faction gear will no longer require rep to purchase and will only require justice points, not valor. So cap out your JP at 4K and get some sweet purple pixels when 5.4 drops. You can follow me on Twitter at Epic Diapers or check out my blog at epicdiapers.com.
And remember, it's hard to balance the pew-pew with the poo-poo.
Welcome to the Feltron. This week, in order to catch up with all the wonderful news on the PTR, we first have to pay homage to our friend Amy Jade and start singing. It's raining blood, ha ha ha, yes, it's raining blood everywhere. Why am I giggling with such glee? Very simple. Archimon's Vengeance, which used to be the dump stat in Dump Town for the level 90, has been changed to Archimon's Vengeance. When you talent into it, your Dark Soul will now gain a second charge. This means that you'll have the ability of two charges of Dark Soul. Obviously, this will work very similar to the Hand of Gul'dan mechanic, where once one charge is used, it'll start recharging. However, once the first charge is used, you can use the second charge immediately after. This means you'll have an extra burst of DPS at the beginning of a fight and be able to stretch that Dark Soul proc for more than just your 40 seconds. You'll be able to extend it to 80 seconds. So much power. To contact the show, you can send an email to show@fell-tron.com or contact me on Twitter as fell_tron.
Welcome to this week's edition of Azeroth's Fantastic Race, and I'm your host, Bro Baby. After the huge party in the Grim Guzzler, the remaining teams headed back to Silvermoon City in order to learn the location for the next leg. There, they learn that they must make their way through the Dark Portal and find Lieutenant General Orion for the first quest of this next leg. Aludra, being a mage, quickly grabbed Miss Muldra, and they teleported to Shattrath, then hopped on a quick flight point and found Orion. Tanadalan and Sumpasine were likewise teleported by a friendly mage fan. They arrived in second place. Johnny Feisty and Buxley, slightly hungover from the party, raced the teams of Morgrom, Gurp, Kephis, and Revengeek through the flight points until they crossed through the portal. Last to arrive was a team of Dills and Terpster, as Terpster was having a hard time leaving the ladies from the Grim Guzzler until they all had a chance to see what was behind his sonorous shield. Now you can follow the action on the web at fantasticrace.blogspot.com, and you can follow me on Twitter at VroBaby. Now be sure to vote for your favorite teams while you're on the blog spot. Your votes help decide who will continue on and who will be eliminated next. Also, you can check out the new podcast, Fights and Bucks. It's a geek's view of saving money. It is currently available on iTunes and Stitcher, and you can also find it at pfspro.com.
Greetings, and welcome to Slashgrants. I'm your host, Efink G4. I'm here to talk to you about the fun achievements you can earn in the World of Warcraft.
This week's achievement is Fire in the Yanghole, or Yanghole. The goal here is to kill 15 or more Gai Chao combat ants with a single highly explosive oil barrel. It's a mouthful, this achievement. You can complete this achievement during the daily quest, The Enemy of My Enemy is Still My Enemy, for the Shadow Pan. All these mobs are a bit spread out, so you could either do this a couple ways. You could send your helper in if you grabbed one from Shadow Pan. You could send him in and they'll group them all together. Or you could run in there like a maniac and gather them all together and lob some bombs. They're about groups of five, so you really just need three groups to get together. Or if you just kind of send out a couple bombs out, and if you're really quick, you'll still get the achievement if you throw them really fast. I think you might have maybe 3 second window to throw a second or third bomb. And as always, if you do this correctly, you will be awarded 10 points and the achievement Fire in the Yang Hole. Or Yang Hole. In the hole. Fire in the hole!
Past segments and notes are at slashgrats.com. You could follow me on Twitter at efinkg4. Good luck, and I'll see you next week.
Monk Meditation, the podcast of monks, by monks, and for monks, recorded its first episode.
Chi brew is awesome. Keep throwing uplifts.
Let your healers know what you're doing so they're not screaming at you.
Going, what the hell are you doing? Get out of there!
What console game out there doesn't have some kind of solo setup where you can test yourself against the game for some kind of ranking?
My hunch is that we're going to want the DPS one because that's always going to be useful. Just like how the DPS meta is always useful. And in 10-man especially, you don't really need any of that survival stuff.
We are taking that Zen idea of, oh, I see what you're trying to do. Let's talk about this.
Join us Tuesday, July 30th at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on Google Hangout. Visit monkmeditation.com to subscribe.
How you guys doing? This is Strock, Blackwater Raiders, U.S. Do you remember when the whole welfare epidemic started? Welfare epic epidemic started? It was like Tier 9 back in Wrath of the Lich King, where people were upset because Blizzard was giving away Tier 9. I didn't mind it because at the time we were working on 10.5. My point is this. For those of us that raid, it's really not enough of us to provide enough of a game for everyone to play. So why do you think that it's wrong that people just give old stuff to people so, you know, they can keep subscribing and pay the lion's share of what we all enjoy? Anyway, you know, thanks for the show. I appreciate it. You guys keep me awake and you guys keep me laughing out here. Take it easy.
Oh, Ludra the Mage here, helping you battle your way through Azeroth. One of the coolest pets right now is Gazrookie. He's currently available in the Battlefield Barrens for the price of one Radical Mojo. Well, how do you get one of these Radical Mojos? You just have to do the weekly quests, collecting 150 of each resource. No small feat, considering we're talking stone, oil, meat, and lumber. But in 5.4, all of this is going to change. Gazrookie is going to become a zone-wide drop, meaning that he's going to become even harder to farm in the future. So, why work so hard? Gazrookie is an aquatic pet with beast and aquatic moves. Kind of unusual, but definitely worth a look. Did I mention he's a three-headed hydra? Oh yeah, totally awesome. If you like this segment, or you want to tell me how awesome I am, you can visit the website at aludraspets.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at aludra_AIE. And for more Battle Pet information, head on over to battlepet.net.
Greetings, and welcome back to the Azeroth Archives. I am Victorcus, Draenei Paladin and Lore Master of the Archives, while my counterpart, the Rogue, is off falling off of mountains in Kunlai, or whatever he gets up to when he is not busy insulting me. I thought I would expand on something he mentioned last week, the Burning Legion. All of the planets, from my homeworld of Draenor to the Azeroth with which you may be more familiar, were created by great beings called the Titans. They were strong and benevolent, but one of them, named Sargeras, became disillusioned with the worlds and civilizations he helped construct. He lost faith in the ideal of order in the universe, believing that he must restore all things to their primal chaotic state, and his form became corrupted. He enlisted the help of the powerfully magical residents of the planet Arcus, the Eredar, from which my people, the Draenei, are estranged. He enslaved the Dreadlords and Pitlords, wielders of foul demonic magics. His growing army began to move through the universe, united under the name the Burning Legion, and leaving utter destruction and chaos in its wake. It is unknown how many worlds and civilizations have fallen to the Legion, but among them are my own homeworld of Draenor. Azeroth itself has thrice been invaded by the Legion and its agents, the events of which I will address in the future. And each time, the inhabitants of Azeroth have paid a heavy price to retain their freedom. For now, the Legion has been confined beyond the Dark Portal and to a very few remaining holdouts on Azeroth, and kept at bay by Azeroth's many adventurers, but their relative silence of late is no reason to become complacent. If our Black Dragonflight friend, Raytheon, is to be believed, we may once again come face to face with the Legion, and perhaps with Sargeras himself before too much longer. Thank you once again for listening. The Petulant Skeleton will be here again next week, and I conveniently have an errand to Stormwind to make at that time. Until I return, may the light embrace you. Follow at Azeroth Archives on Twitter.
Thrumka, and welcome to Ask Miss Melgra, your source on matters of etiquette in Azeroth. Today's question is... Is it appropriate to start a conversation with someone in the next stall when I am in the little boy's room at the arena? Everyone knows that a conversation already in progress when you enter the facilities may be continued to its logical conclusion, but then must stop until other business is concluded. It is completely against all protocol to begin a new conversation with someone in a neighboring stall, especially if it is a member of the Alliance. There is a good reason for this, the element of surprise. I suggest that you enter your stall and sit. Quietly slip out of your boots and stand on the seat in your bare feet. One heroic leap over the wall should be all that is needed to put the Alliance dog in his place. Then remember to wash your hands when you're done. I am Miss Mulgrew, and that is my advice. Akamagosh! Follow at Miss Mulgrew on Twitter, or listen to previous episodes at missmulgrew.com.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.